speak about tonight is one of the most important messages you may have heard. And I want you to open your heart. Because God wants to change your life. Say amen. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Next verse. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmate for him. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Now you go to chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. I'd like you to pay careful attention. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand and ask God to speak to you with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Grant me, Lord, tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. This evening, I'd like to speak on the subject, avoiding the crash of destiny. Avoiding the crash of destiny. We shall be looking at what led to the crash of the destiny of Adam and Eve that necessitated Good Friday. What led to the crash of the original man that was the reason why Christ had to go to Calvary? What went wrong with man at the beginning in order for us to avoid it going wrong with us today? We are going to look at the pitfalls to avoid if we are going to fulfill destiny. We are going to be looking at pitfalls to avoid if we are going to give birth to the purpose of God for our lives. Because like you know, after this crash with Adam and Eve, they were driven from the Garden of Eden. And they went into everlasting frustration until Jesus came to rescue them. Beloved brothers and sisters, God made man in his image and put them in the Garden of Eden. Beautiful place, wonderful place. Satan had walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He had been in the Garden of God before, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12. And the book of Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 14. He had walked in the midst of the stones of fire. He had been in the Garden of God before. He was the anointed cherub that covered. Let's look at those passages. Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. Isaiah 14 12. The Bible says, alright, give me 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground with this wicked the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and that this shaped kingdoms, verse 17, and that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? That was Lucifer, the son of the morning. Look at Ezekiel 28 and in verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 14. The Bible said, thou... Alright, start from verse 12. Here is what it says. Ezekiel 28 from verse 12. Please be fast and be quick and be sharp and be smart. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire. Understand that he was in Eden before. The workmanship of thy tablet and of thy palms was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee without temptation. Nobody tempted Lucifer. That is why his sin is unpardonable. He was in the place where sin does not exist and he generated sin. He is a sin inventor. And immediately he became a sinner. He became a Satan. And then was casted out from heaven into hell. He was depersonalized and decelestized. He lost celestial capacity. He lost angelic capacity. He lost cherubimic capacity. He became like, it's like the denaturation of protein. It's like you put egg in fire and then it changes nature. So he became Lucifer. From that day forward, when he realized that he lost his beauty and became an ugly devil, you saw that ugliness that came now. He became angry against Jehovah. And everywhere he saw Jehovah at work, he wanted to work against him. So when God established man in the Garden of Eden, in anger against God, he decided to move to spoil it. That was number one. And then in envy against man, who are you to inherit where I lost? I have been in the garden of God, in Eden. I ruled there. I lived there. I lost it. And now they want you to stay there. No way. He moved. Listen to me. We are on a journey tonight. And that devil is a bastard. That devil is a bastard. There are people that come close to you, not because they like you, but because they see that what they could not be, you are there. So they want to see what they can do to push you out of there. They want to befriend you temporarily in order to move you from your destiny. But that devil is a bastard. And you see Luciferic strategy. He knew that when he rebelled against God, he lost his place. So he wanted these people to lose their place. So he began to teach them rebellion. When I rebelled, I lost my place. Let me help you lose your place by encouraging your rebellion. But the worst thing was that he taught them to do exactly what he did. Exactly what he did. He told them, he said, God knows that in the day you eat it, you shall be like God. Don't you like to be like God? Because in Isaiah 14:14, he knows that anybody who attempts that is set for hell. Isaiah 14:14. Here was exactly what he himself said. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like God. And when he dared that, he lost his soul. He wanted them to dare it. And so they dared it. And they lost it. Dear brothers and sisters, anywhere you see the devil, hate him. That is why some of us preach the way we preach. Because the man is wickedness personified. But sit down. Let me show you 5 pitfalls of Adam and Eve. And pitfall number 1. And I am dealing more with Eve. And I want to deal more with it because we are in the mood of the women's conference yet. But what I speak affects everybody. What was the pitfall number 1? It is called independent existence. Independent existence. They crave for independence. I want you to understand that Eve and Adam came to a point where they were not together in the garden. There was no way they could be together. And Lucifer engaged Eve, and Adam is watching. For one reason or the other, Adam was in some part of the garden. Eve was in another part of the garden. And then Satan engaged her. Isolation is the foundation for temptation. Separation is the foundation for temptation. Division is the foundation for temptation. Every family, every marriage, where the man is on his own and the woman is on her own, is a strategy for disaster. What they call division is nothing but division, 2 visions. Every time 2 people have different visions, division has arrived. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? The strategy of Satan has not changed.
When he wanted to destroy the destiny of Lot, he gave him another vision. And the moment Lot was disconnected from his godly uncle, his destiny crashed. When he wanted to ruin Absalom, he made Absalom to bring division in Israel. And the moment Absalom brought division to Israel, there was destruction in Israel as well as the destruction of Absalom. Am I communicating? Independent existence. Independence in vision. Independence in action. You see some husbands and wives saying, your money, my money. Your house, my house. Your this, my this. Your car, my car. And you see such things happening in homes. Beloved, it is a strategy for the decapitation of destiny. It's a strategy for the elimination of destiny. That was what happened to Adam and to Eve. You can see it in the statement of Adam when God arrived. What happened to you, Adam? What happened? How can you say you are naked? Did you eat of the fruit which I told you not to eat when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden? And in verse 10 he said, I heard the voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten the fruit of the tree whereof I commanded thee not to eat? That thou shouldst eat? And the man said, the one who previously said that Eve was the bone of his bone and the flesh of his flesh is now saying, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me. No longer my wife. No longer the bone of my bone. No longer flesh of my flesh. She had been with me of late. We were one before, but she was with me lately. If out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, the separation already started before the fall started and before God arrived. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. My dear brothers and my sisters, I like you to hear this, and may you never forget it for life. That every time the devil wants to destroy a destiny, he invites disunity, discord, and strife. In a home, in a church, in a nation, in an organization. And until he succeeds in bringing that, he never succeeds in destroying the people. Am I communicating? Independent existence. Eve, independent of the husband. Husband, independent of Eve. And then, they crave to be independent of God. If you be like God, will you need God again? You won't have any need for any submission to anybody. Why don't you like to be like God? And Eve already fell for that temptation. I can say to you, they crave to be independent of God. It's like the crave of an aircraft to be independent of the pilot. They crave to be independent of God. It's like the crave of a car to be independent of the driver. But today, every home and every family where there is already a division, and every life where there is a division, I pray that God will help in your restoration. Lift up your right and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to exist independent of you. Help me, Lord, never to embrace the spirit of independence. In the name of Jesus. Number two, pitfall. I call it responsibility failure. Responsibility failure. And what do I mean by responsibility failure? Failure to do what is expected of you.
or playing a role that is not yours. It leads to the crash of destiny. Am I communicating? It came to the point where she was taking decision on behalf of the family. It was not Eve's license to decide what happened in the garden. The administration of the garden was handed over to Adam before Eve was created. Am I communicating at all? In Genesis chapter 2 verse 15, after God had done the creation, Genesis 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it rid on, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, you see, the woman was not there yet, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 18. And the Lord God said, now it is not good, after the administration of the garden has been concluded, that the man should be alone, let's create the woman. She was not even there when the instructions were being given. And that was why she was talking upside down with Satan. I'm going to come to that later. She was not on ground. You see what happened in the garden? Eve overstepped her bounds, and Adam underplayed his role. Both of it is a challenge. You overstep your bound, your destiny must crash. You underplay your role, your destiny must crash. Adam, Eve overstepped her bound by taking up a role that she was not licensed or anointed to handle. When Saul, king of Israel, decided to become a priest, he lost the throne. He sacrificed and he was not licensed to sacrifice instead of Samuel. Adam did not play his role. He underplayed his role because he left his wife vulnerable for Satan to tempt. Where was he when Eve was being engaged? What should Eve have done? Serpent, I don't understand what you are talking about. Wait for my husband. He is the one to answer these questions. The things you are talking about, I do not have an understanding. Let my husband answer the question. No, sir. Eve took it upon herself. There are some self-willed women who decide to be the husband in the house. I can say to you today, any home where the woman is the decision maker is an upside down home. Any home where the woman is the provider, that is the man is sitting waiting for the woman's salary, is an upside down home with an upside down destiny. Am I speaking to somebody here today? I am telling you, my brothers and my sisters, there are many who are unable to fulfill their destiny. They crashed in destiny because they decided to turn upside down the pattern of Jehovah. It was not her duty. It was not her duty. She was meant to wait for her husband. I want you to pray this prayer. I learned it from my father in the Lord many years ago. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, as long as I live, say it louder, say, Father, as long as I live, help me, Lord, never to overstep my bounds. And help me never to underplay my role. Father, help me never to overstep my bounds, and help me never to underplay my role. Responsibility failure. Husband, rise up to your responsibility. Wife, understand your responsibility. If you don't want destiny to crash. What is number three? Ah, yakata kalala.
frightening. Number three pitfall in the crash of destiny is keeping the wrong company. And I want to say here, there are three things involved. In the matter of the wrong company, the first challenge of Eve was her being located at the wrong place. Can I ask you a question? Where do you think Eve was when the serpent met her? Because when the temptation finished, she didn't have to go and look for the fruit. When the temptation finished, she just stretched her hand and took it. What was she doing near the fruit? What was she doing around the tree? Hear me. Your contemplation becomes your temptation. Your thought eventually becomes your trap. Eve was standing near the tree and wondering why God said they should not take it. Literally. Just standing there. And the devil, who is a manoeuvrist and a chief manipulator, must have sensed it. You have seen nothing yet. Did you notice that Satan came and continued literally a conversation? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said unto the woman, yeah, as God said, as if your mind is thinking of whether, should we touch this thing? Should we touch that thing? Okay, yeah. Did God say so, really? What is it that is going on in your mind? It becomes a platform, either for distinction or disaster. In the wrong place, anything that is not intention, that is not your intention, must not be your attraction. There are many people whose destinies have been trapped because they have been located in the wrong place. Someone said, if you don't want harm, get out of harm's way. Wrong company. And then, the second aspect of it was that Eve was with the wrong person. The wrong personality. Wrong personality. His name was Satan, the devil. Your company affects your destiny, and your company can be equal to your calamity, depending on who that company is. And then Eve was involved with the wrong conversation. Look at your neighbor, say, beware what you are talking about. Involved is not everything that should come out of your mouth as a subject of discussion. The first statement from the mouth of Satan should have made Eve to discard him on the spot. Any discussion that begins to question the integrity of the Almighty is not a discussion to engage in. Anybody who comes to talk to you about your wife or your husband in a way as to put a doubt in your heart is a destroyer of destiny. The conversation was not correct. It was by agreeing to the wrong conversation that Delilah destroyed the destiny of Samson. And every time you are in touch with Delilah, you are in touch with disaster. Are you following what I'm saying here? By engagement in the wrong conversation, lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I refuse the wrong company, the wrong environment, the wrong conversation. I refuse it. I reject it. Now, in Jesus' name. I used to tell young men in relationship, I say, don't start what you don't want to finish. When you start with the holding of hands, very soon the hand will become you become too used to that level. That is boy and girl in courtship. Next thing you want to hold his shoulder. After a while, that also becomes too normal. You want to change levels. Before you know it, disaster. That was what Eve never knew. She began it with Satan and ended in disaster. Am I communicating? Any conversation that questions your conviction is tampering with your destination. Any conversation that questions your conviction. Any conversation that is tampering with your belief system. Any conversation that questions your faith in God is tampering with your destiny. You know what the conversation did for Eve at the end of the day? It brought her the spirit of discontentment. Where you are is too low. You can be better. How can you be married to this man for all these years and he has not done you well? Good men are looking for fine women like you. Eve, how can you be at this level when you can be better? You can be like God. It brought Eve a dangerous, terrible ambition. Any discussion that is trying to make you far more ambitious than the purpose of God for your life is a destructive discussion. Am I communicating? Some pastors have been run out of ministry and run into disaster by wrong discussions. It brought doubt and disbelief in the heart of Eve also towards God. Any conversation that wants to make you doubt your husband, or doubt your wife, or doubt your maker, or doubt your pastor, or doubt whoever God has brought into your life, and say, I'm not sure that God is really sincere. I don't think your husband is as sincere as you think. You don't know what he's doing behind, or your wife, or you don't think that your pastor really loves you. Such conversations are disasters to destiny. Am I still speaking to anybody? So the first trap is to avoid in the crash of destiny's independent existence. The second is responsibility failure. And the third is keeping the wrong company. Number four is called ignorance of the word of God. Ignorance of the word of God. If you look at the conversation between Eve and the devil, there was a lot of ignorance manifested. I'd like you to see this. In verse 1 of chapter 3, the Bible said, the serpent said, yeah, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is that what God said? Do you hear what serpent is saying? Did God say you should not touch any tree at all? Every tree. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God said? You see, the devil is a perverter of truth. The devil wants to so distort the Bible to confuse you and make God look terrible. said, no, God cannot say we shouldn't eat of every tree. How will we survive?
Leave the passage there for me. Verse 2.
And the woman said, we may eat of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. Hear this. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Is that what God said?
Touch was not mentioned at all. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Look at that. God didn't mention touch. Verse 17. Now, 15 first. Look at 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was inside the garden. It was part of the trees to be dressed too.
If you don't touch it, how do you dress it?
You know, and go, and in verse 16, the Bible said, and the Lord commanded, said, of every tree of the garden, now you dress all of them, and then freely eat of all of them. But verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it. You can dress it, but don't eat it. So, as Eve was perverted in her knowledge of the world, have I given you number 4 yet? Ignorance of the world. She was suffering from ignoramus stupiditis. And she failed to ask her husband who was there when he received the instruction. Hear me. My people are destroyed. Not because the devil is too powerful, but for lack of knowledge. It is because of the ignorance that the devil perceived in Eve that the devil came to corrupt her destiny. Are you hearing me? You will touch it because you have to dress it. But she didn't know the word. She confused everything. God said we shouldn't touch it. So the devil said, okay, I have found a victim here. I have found a victim. Now, look at what Eve said. Lest you die. Is that what God said? Lest means in case. If you touch it, you may die, you may not die. That is what lest you die. He said, be careful that God said we should not eat it or touch it in case we die. Probability. Is that what God said? Genesis 2:17. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You will surely die. And the woman said, God said we may die. Our problem is that we carry this thing, but we don't understand what he said. What God takes serious, we took on serious. What does not matter at all, we made it to matter. God says you shall surely die. He says, in case we die. God says you shall surely die. He said, it is possible we can live after eating it. How many people today have trooped to the pit of hell because of it doesn't matter? It is your heart that matters. Dressed naked, it doesn't matter. If you're tight, it doesn't matter. Why? The mortal ignorance of the world. Hear this. There is nothing God honors like revelation. And there is nothing the devil enjoys like ignorance. Your greatest strength is your light. And your greatest threat is your ignorance. Again. Your greatest strength in life is your light. Your insight. And your greatest threat, the greatest strength of your destiny is your light. The greatest threat to your destiny is your ignorance. And the devil capitalized
and the ignorance of that daughter of Zion and her destiny and that of her husband was cheaply corrupted. Your own shall not be corrupted in the name of Jesus. Finally, number 5 is called the spirit of covetousness. And when the woman saw that the tree, that the fruit, the tree was good for food, when she saw, there are many people whose eyes have put them into trouble, taking them straight to hell. When the woman saw, what happened to Esau when he saw the red pottage? What happened to David? He was walking on top of his house and saw a woman. No wonder Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. When the woman saw, it is not everything that looks good that is good. It may be good to the eyes, but it may not be good for life. When the woman saw that it was good to the eyes, good to the eyes, but disastrous to life. Am I communicating? Sweet poison. Beautiful looking death. The woman saw that it was good to the eyes. The spirit of covetousness. And what is that spirit? Craving for that which is forbidden. The spirit of covetousness. Craving for that which is not due for now. The spirit of covetousness. Desiring what is not yours to acquire. The woman of God preached on that yesterday. And she talked about women that must buy what others had bought. And they must get what others had got. Behind a lot of armed robbery, behind a lot of prostitution, it's not poverty but covetousness. I must get the latest car. I must get the latest blackberry, whiteberry, greenberry, redberry, yellowberry, iPhone, U phone, we phone. Am I speaking to somebody here? And we have a covetous generation, and everybody wants something that somebody has. I heard the other day about one man, he pensioned something 20 something billion. One person. That is the generation that we live in. Beloved brothers and sisters, and the cure to covetousness is contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and we are certain we can take nothing out of this world. Am I communicating here at all? It ruined the destiny of Eve, ruined the destiny of Adam, ruined the destiny of Esau, ruined the destiny of Judas Iscariot, ruined the destiny of Balaam. Ruin the destiny, prophesy for the reward of divination. Ruin the destiny of Achan. Covetous eyes took the Babylonian garment. Ruin the destiny of Gehazi. Ruin the destiny of Judas Iscariot. Look at 12 verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Am I communicating? If your destiny will not crash, can that amen be louder? What is the reason that there are so many false prophets today? They want crowds that God did not give them. They want a crowd of people gathering that God didn't give them. An and they refuse to follow legitimate spiritual procedure. They want a short course that does not exist. They are looking for money they didn't earn. They want to force prophesy and prophesy money out of people's pockets. They want to, they are prophesying and stealing people's cars from them and houses. The spirit of covetousness, which is the spirit of Lucifer. I will be like God. I will be like God. I will sit in the throne. Where is he now? I think he's like God now. As far as tonight is concerned, and this session, I am through with the message. See? Because it is not in the abundance of talk. If you didn't hear in 5 minutes, even in 5 years, you may not hear it. One book, one Nobel Prize. It's a 30-page book. 30 pages. Am I communicating? Loquacity many times does not communicate mentality. Those who talk too much, it's not that they have a lot of brain. Stand up on your feet. Take that tape, sit down with it, and look at the points one by one. I refuse, Lord, to be a victim of independence. I take my wife along my journey of destiny, and she takes me along the decisions and actions she wants to take moves. Refuse to be strangers living under the same roof. You come to church, you are pretending that everything is well. You go home and World War X continues. Many Christian couples are expert actors. Hollywood can employ them. They know how to act. Honey, darling, come, let's go. But before they reach the junction, they return back to the recess. The person, the character in the film has changed to the real person. Independent existence. Stand up on your feet, people. The other day I was praying in my study, and my wife came and said, "Can I pray around the church?" I said, "Why not? Stay here." I was still praying, but I assisted her arrange where to stay in her own prayer position. I was still flowing in prayer. After about 1 or 2 hours, I don't know how long it took, then she was through and left, and then I continued the journey. Later on, she told me, she said, praying around there is like being towed by a heavy-duty vehicle. She said, there was no struggle in the prayer because you are being towed. It's a towing van. The other day, she called me and said, "I don't know whether I need more than 24 hours. What do I do to be able to handle all the things I need to handle? I don't know, I need." I said, "Sit down. Number one, number two, number three." "Okay. Okay." Never give room to assumption. Am I communicating? I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that said, "If you don't know what to say, keep quiet instead of being called a fool, rather than speaking and clearing the doubt." Don't leave room for assumption. Eve should have asked the husband. She was talking upside down with the devil.
We may not eat it and not touch it.
That is F9. Say, in case we die. Another F9. Avoid independent existence and accept your role. Don't carry a calling that is not your own. Accept your role.
Rick Joyner said, if people know the nature of authority, they won't look for it. If you know what it is to walk in an apostolic calling, you won't desire it. If you know the implication of a prophetic ministry, you won't desire it. He said, you teachers shall be judged with a severer standard. For to whom much is given, much is expected. If you know what it takes to be a pastor, you won't like it. One day, one of my daughters was with me, and after seeing my schedule, 24 hours, reckless, restless schedule, she said, Kai, what a schedule. I said, that is why anybody who envies this position, I want to give him, let him try it for 1 year. One week, let's exchange. If you know this, if you know what it means to be a priest, you won't be it. You know, so anything that God has called you to be, stay put. Don't overstep your bounds, don't underplay your role, or you lose your destiny. King Uzziah went into the temple to burn incense. And Azariah the priest told him, it appertaineth not unto you to burn incense. Oh Uzziah, it's only the Levites that can offer sacrifice. He became angry. I am a successful king. While he was angry, leprosy started on his head. Inside the temple. And the priest wanted to catch him, yet he ran out himself. He remained a leper till he died. If you don't want leprosy, maintain your responsibility. You don't want to lose your color, face your calling. Face what God called you. And if you are not sure of your calling, just do the normal things until you are sure. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say louder amen. If you don't want to fall in sin with that man, don't stay near him. One young girl many years ago said, her former boyfriend in the world, they met somewhere and he was talking to him about Jesus Christ. And the man said, okay, what you are saying is very serious. I am staying in Sheraton. Can you meet me there and tell me more? So, you know the rest of the story. Let me not conclude it. He was the one who preached to her later. He was the one that now evangelized her. That demonic type. She left there dejected, frustrated, dog returned back to vomit. One step forward, a thousand steps backwards to start again. Having fallen down into sin because of being found at the place she was not meant to be. Any food you don't want to eat, don't smell it. Don't bring it near your nose. Any relationship that is not marital, don't come by yourself with somebody that is not, you are not planning to marry each other. Every time they see you are together, waiting to happen. Indefinite, non-definite, indefinable, undefinable relationship. It's not worth it. Eve was standing and looking. This fruit, God said we shouldn't touch her. Then Satan appeared and said, yeah, did God really say so? Did you hear the devil say, yeah? Yeah. Let's continue the discussion. Did God really say so? Discussion continued. And frustration concluded. Somebody say a louder amen. And by all means, carry the Bible and know the Bible. Know this Bible, sir. It will change your life. Every day I preach it, I see more things. More things. I told my daughter today in the morning, I said, I was in the morning session, I learned some things while I was talking. And I told them what I learned. And I told them what I was going to do. If the Bible is not alive, then it has become newspaper. Whether you are reading it or preaching it, you should see something. And something that is practicable. To see it is not what is important, but to practice it, that is what is the key. What am I to do now after what I just said? I've been giving welfare and giving to the needy before Wednesday. But Wednesday, when I preached on the power of generosity, I saw something that I needed to do that to another level that day. While the message was going on, the light landed upon myself. I made a statement. The light came upon myself and gave me a definite direction while I was still on the altar. I've not even shared that with my wife yet. Am I communicating? Carry that Bible. And know the Bible. If you know it, no devil can mess you up. No false prophet can false prophesy to you. You will return back to him, his prophecy. Am I communicating? No false teacher can confuse you with doctrine. And the good thing about this is that nobody has exclusive copyright to it. Whether a man is white or black or yellow. If you say the Bible says so, you will see somewhere where it didn't say what he said. Or where he's trying to interpret it to fit his own theology. He's using his denominational goggle. Denominational spectacles to interpret the doctrine. So you read it, we with an open face behold us in a glass. The glory of the Lord, we are transformed into the same image. From glory to glory. So you read this with open eyes. Lord, what are you saying? This is Bible. Oh. You read a book. You heard a very famous, popular, notable pastor, teacher, worldwide respected, including this one. Who said something that is contrary to the word? Drop what he said and carry the word. Somebody say, I saw a vision. Even if he saw 1 million angels talking to him, including he saw Jesus Christ talking to him, and what the Jesus Christ he saw said is contrary to this Bible, drop it. Because the Bible said, even Satan is transformed. As an angel of light, he can appear as Christ. Don't be intimidated by anybody. Say, I saw Jesus Christ. And then the Jesus Christ he saw said something that is contrary to scripture. That is a false Christ. That was why Paul the Apostle said, if we preach another Jesus Christ, that is not the Jesus of this Bible, reject it. There are many Christs. He said, first Christ shall arise, both in the physical and in revelation. Emi omo Jesu Oyibo. Emi omo Jesu Agege. Emi omo Jesu Ikeja. Jesu Timomo. Akata Arila. I don't know Jesus of Oyibo. I don't know Jesus of Agege. I don't know Jesus of Ikeja. The Jesus I know is the rock of ages. One of my one
somebody in the university became so disconcerted, and I won't give details so that nobody will guess who I'm talking about. And he's just on his own, just on his own. And then, wordless prayer and wordless fasting. Then he started seeing angels in quotes. See, and they came, and he's giving instructions. The next thing he said, he saw an angel that came to take blood from his external jugular vein. Angel taking blood from neck vein. You must know who that angel is. And giving him instructions. And the angel now sent him into ministry. And he ran to ministry. And he couldn't stop it. As I talk now, he's a dead drunkard. My communication. This word is the final arbiter. The final authority of truth. Whatever is said, whatever is seen, whatever is preached, whatever is decreed or declared that does not line up with what, drop what you saw or what you heard or what was decreed and hold the word. And the knowledge of this word makes a man a natural prophet. Natural. See, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, anyone in whose life the word comes, he speaks on behalf of God. And he sent forth his word. Am I communicating? Those who know the word don't need to close their eyes to prophesy. They don't need to shake body. Two witches in the village. He will open his eyes like this and say, by this time tomorrow your life has changed. Is that all? It's all sins. He didn't say in Jesus' name. It's a decree. Before God, whom I stand, no rain, no dew. Bye. It's a decree, not a prayer. There are two different things. In Jesus' name follows prayer. Stand up on your feet. And then, covetousness. Run. If you don't have it now, it's not good enough for now. There is a time you will have it. Jesus Christ had the knowledge of good and evil without eating the fruit. God has put a way. Adam and Eve, if they had been patient, they would have had access to anything Satan was promising them. In God's own way. Without disobeying God. Jesus was at all points tempted, but without sin. So he knew what was good. He knew what was evil. And he didn't sin. Am I communicating? Instead of eating the fruit of life, God drove them from the garden. Say, let's drive the man out in case they touch the tree of life. You know the meaning of that? Man has fallen. As they disobeyed God, sickness has come. Affliction has come. Poverty has come. Frustration has come. Now, if they touch the fruit of life, it means they live with that disaster forever. If they, instead of touching the fruit of life and not die again, let us send them out so we can deliver them. What a loving Savior. There are things that God denied you of. It's not because he hates you, because he likes you. Lift up your sword. He said you shouldn't marry that man. You thought he was angry with you. No. He wanted to save you from ritual killing. Driving the hen from the road because he wants to pick corn from the road is not out of hatred. You don't want it to die. Hallelujah. This Bible, carry your Bible. Carry. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Lift it up. If you are sitting, stand up. Those of you who carry iPads, make sure you have a physical Bible like this. Because when they say carry Bible and you carry iPad, I have a Bible, I have an iPad. I came with both of them. The iPad has a Bible, but I have both of them. You carry the Bible, rocket. iPad, very excellent, but there are things you can do with this raw one. Papa said, blessed is he that readeth. He said, take the book of the law and read. He said, take the iPad and read. That's what Papa said. Lift it up. Shaka prakataka. Jana marataka. Shakalabada. Carry what you have. Whatever you have, carry. Shakalabada. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful, Lord. What thou seest, write in a book. So you pick a book. Write it. You will be amazed the way your questions will be answered. when you take that statue and begin to go to it. Every time you feel dry and you don't know where to read in the Bible, open one of those things you wrote before. As you are reading it, you will be connected to the next life. Pick up a tape. Pick up a message. Let it be playing permanent in your car, or at least 30 minutes of a priest's word, because somebody at a higher level of life is now like towing you, my communication, dragging you into life. I have a little iPod. Inside that iPod, there may be like 600 messages, both my own and those above me. And my schedule is literally daily. I have to listen to something. Apart from studying that one, about 600 messages inside the little iPod. And bright light. But this moment, you lift up this Bible and say, Father, grace to access light from the word. I receive grace to receive life from this word. I receive. Some of us are better readers than listeners. Like books are better for you than this. Whichever one is better for you, ensure that you are connected to brighter light daily. Lift it up and say, Father, I receive light, insight from your world to change my world, to change my destiny. I receive it now. Say, Father, I love your world. I love your word. I love the Bible. From today, Lord, may it open up for me. And I receive it now. Put it on your chest. Just clutch it. Just pray in the spirit a little. Many will have encounters. That's right. Already happened. We have gone.
fresh light, fresh insight, fresh grace, fresh help from above, from the world. That is your portion. What you have heard tonight, may it remain with you the rest of your life. You will not be a victim of the crash of destiny. In the name of Jesus. May Jesus Christ help you by his shed blood on Calvary in this Easter weekend to restore you back to your destiny. I call it done. In Jesus' name. Drop the Bible on the seat or wherever, and then just lift your right hand up. You feel like rededicating your life to Jesus, or handing over to him, or surrendering to him tonight, or receiving forgiveness. If you didn't come out with the first set of people that came out, and after hearing this message, you say, I have been a victim of temptation. I have fallen and done all manner of things. But I need mercy from God. Please come forward. Carry your Bibles or bags and come forward. If you have not come out today, if you came out earlier on, don't come again. If you haven't come out today, and you need to surrender to Jesus, you need forgiveness, you need to overcome temptation, and help to live a better life with Jesus, come forward from everywhere you are. God bless you. Keep coming fast. You can take your seat for 1 minute.
Vision Magazine.
Empty handed,
all of them is your head.
But if you didn't come out before, you can go ahead.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
Forgive me my sin. Make me a new person. Today, I have decided to follow you, Jesus. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward ever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I break the hold of sin on this life. Grant them the grace to live for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up. Why is it that you didn't pray? Why not just be praying, did not pray? Why? Come here. Come here. I ask them to pray, not pray. Come here. Remain standing, not praying. Your Holy Son was seen to harm, but you have led him up to die to walk upon this field is fallen and has become the Lamb of God. Anybody knows this young man? God, I love you so, Holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in your precious blood. My Jesus is the Lamb of God. When I was leading people in the altar, in the prayer of repentance, he was not talking. I thought he could. I was suspecting him.
Who is this one who came for altar call and is quiet? How many of you know that the devil can send agents to the church and they pretend that they want to give their life to Christ and then they have another motive? He wasn't talking. But I now started talking to him and then he's pointing his ear. That is why I wanted somebody to confirm that they know him and that they cannot hear. But it's possible he came alone. And if there is nobody, I am going to pray for him.
Here is no other God who lives and never ever dies. There is no